The most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you. The most important person in the whole wide world is you. Come on, we'll show you. Let's find out more about the things you feel and do, 'cause you're the most important person in the world to you.
Hello, 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 and happy hump day. Welcome to One for All is Love with Sonia Spirit, and I am Sonia Spirit. And today is a beautiful Wednesday, August 26, 2020. And hopefully everyone is enjoying this day wherever you may be, and whatever the conditions may be. I try to see the positive, the beauty, the growth in each experience. Of course, that brings us to the title of today's show or episode, Which Eye Do I Choose? Huh? Which eye do I choose? What does that mean? Which eye do I choose? Well, as I've mentioned before in the past, that mankind are subject to the law of polarity, which means that there is duality in our relationship. There are, for every position, there's an opposite or equal, opposite and equal position. So part of this duality is the fact that we actually we are actually more than just a human being. So there is duality to our existence. We are a physical manifestation, so we are physically existing, but we are also spiritual beings, okay? So there's a duality right there. So we are spiritual beings housed in a physical body or entity. Okay? So, which eye do I choose? So what are the two eyes? The eyes, there is an the inside eye, the outside eye, if you want to call them that. The spiritual eye, the physical eye, if you want to call them that. But the physical eye probably we'll get into it. So there is polarity, there's duality to our existence. So on the one hand, we have I, as in made in the image of the likeness and image of God. Okay, I am that I am. That is God. Okay, all day long. I mean, it's in the Bible. I'm sure it's in other holy books as well. But I am that I am. I am whatever I choose to be. Okay. So that's our spiritual aspect. That's our godly side. That is our creative nature. That is our manifesting, transforming energy. Okay. I am that I am, and of course, the stuff that makes I am that I am is consciousness, okay? Mind stuff, mind energy. So on the one aspect, we are the spiritual entities, and then on the other aspect, we are these physical entities. And with the physical entity, you have the physical being, but also there's another aspect of consciousness that isn't like super consciousness, the I am that I am, but is actually a more a constricted version of our consciousness. And we refer to it as the ego. And you can refer to it as the ego. You can refer to it as the conscious. because for many people, it is the conscious and the ego are pretty much interrelated. Are they? Not necessarily. But for most of us, that is how we identify. We identify our existence through our senses. That's when we limit our existence through our physical being. Okay? So the second component, of course, is ignorance and insecurity. So the second I, which is manifested or created from the ego's limited knowledge and experience is ignorance and insecurity. Okay, you can call ignorance and insecurity, you can call it the devil, you can call it ego, you can call it any adverse name that you want to. Neurosis, psychosis, it doesn't matter which label you give it. It exists in all of us. However, it may not get expressed in all of us, okay? So remember, all of us contain everything, okay? It's like cells, like cells. We all contain the power, the potential to be anything. But anyway, getting back to the ego and the limited consciousness, the thinking, that's thinking inside the box. The consciousness is considered the box, and anything above and beyond that is imagination, vision, it's all the spectacular stuff, which is normal for all of us. Okay, all of this is default programming for all of us. However, we allow ourselves to believe that we are limited, and therefore we function in that capacity, in a limited capacity. Okay, so getting back to the ignorance and insecurity. I think my meditation music may be a little loud. Okay. So anyway, I felt like I was competing with it. So ignorance and insecurity. Excuse me. Let me before I delve into that, because that's going to take us down multiple paths. But I'll just read the summary for this episode because I haven't revisited since I posted it. When you rise each morning, decide who you will be at that day. Okay. Decide if you will be limitless in your experiences for this day, or will you limit your own experiences and being through the ego's finite perspective shrouded in ignorance and insecurity. We have the power to choose and do choose the path of our day by what we entertain in our minds. When you rise, do you meditate or practice oneness, or do you grab your phone, turn on the TV, worry about your work, school, bills, whatever, a relationship, or some other physical routine, such as needing to urinate, brush your teeth, or get something to drink? And this is important. This is important. Each day is a new opportunity to reset yourself. Do not drag the burdens of yesterday into tomorrow, okay? Or do not drag the burdens of today into tomorrow. When you rest at night, listen, put to bed any worries that you have. Take it to, I posted earlier this week about, it was an article about building an altar, daily OM, daily OM. And it's important because even if the altar is mental, because if you don't have space in your home, okay, for whatever reason, if you don't have space, then build a mental altar and use this mental altar. This mental altar is going to become very powerful over the course of time if you use it. If you use it. So, yes, if you use it, it will become very powerful. And the reason I say the mental altar, because you may not always have access to your physical altar. I'm not saying you're trading one for the other, but I think we should all have a mental altar, primarily because it just takes effort. It doesn't take any space. Okay, just a little bit of time and effort to begin setting up your mental altar. And the reason this, like I said, because we all don't necessarily have physical space, and you need to lay down your burdens down by the altar or the riverside, but you want to lay down your burdens, release them. Remember, when you hold on to them, that's where disease over time, that's how disease forms. They are distorted energy patterns in your body. Let's break it down. Okay? It is disharmony, which means that your energy is not in harmony with the universe. Okay. And so for the most part, you want to, you don't want to build up negative energy. You don't want to start storing or hoarding negative energy, any type of burden, any type of burden. You know, we have a show that we do every other week. It's on our political Third Eye radio station, the Third Eye radio sister station, and it's Political Star Talk. And we were just talking about how we touch it on it because everything is connected. But we were just touching on how, you know, during this era of what's taking place politically, economically, health-wise, that, you know, faith will become more and more important. But what we have to understand is faith is not something that you turn on and off, okay? It is something that you either have or you don't. However, you can build it, okay? You can grow it, all right? If you have to start with belief, trust, until you have confidence and knowing, then you have faith. Faith is that knowing, that confidence, that it's a knowing. It's even more, I mean, well, confidence, of course, is a knowing as well, too. But, you know, confidence can be fake. Anyway, but this is a knowing, okay? It's a knowing. And it's, you know, there people can believe in God and still not have a relationship with God. I mean, I speak to my neighbors. I'm aware of their existence. I'm never rude to them. If I see them, I say something. But I don't go out of my way to do anything, like be neighborly, I guess, like stuff you see on TV, bake cookies or borrow sugar or, you know, whatever, I guess. But I've had neighbors where I did that type of thing, but that's not this environment. For me, it's not this environment. But my point is this. You have to have a relationship with God, okay? You know, oftentimes, and people will tell you, oh, you know, and I'm not judging and I'm not knocking, okay? So wherever you are is wherever you are. I'm saying grow from wherever you are. If you don't have the greatest relationship with God, that's okay. Listen, God is not judging. This is me talking, okay? God is not judging. God is always welcoming you with open arms, okay? So recognize that. Always consider the source of the information. And that goes for everything, even something that I tell you, because I may say something with every intention of it being truthful and factual, and I may find out a day later, a week later, a month later, or a year later that that was not necessarily the case, or that may not be true. It may not have been true then, or it may not be true today. At any rate, that's why it's not a matter of challenging or disrespecting or anything like that. Listen, find out for yourself. Unless you're getting the information or the inspiration directly from God, then it is your responsibility to find out for yourself. And yes, I know God does communicate through other people. And for the most part, once you establish a relationship and you have a relationship and you know what to look for, it's like any other relationship, any other relationship. You know what the idiosyncrasies of other people are, and I'm not saying God is idiosyncratic. However, the form of communication between the two of you may be. Okay? So the form of communication may be. So when God speaks through even the TV, you know, somebody might say something on TV and it resonates with me. I'll know right away, okay, that's the universe talking to me. The universe delivered that message to me because I, at the time that I was listening and they said what they said and it resonated with me. So that's, in my opinion, that's idiosyncratic of the relationship that I have with God or me. And I have, okay. I know. And everybody can know. we all can have a personal relationship with God. Isn't that amazing? Considering that just on earth alone, there's over, what, 7.5 billion people? And you can still have a personal relationship. And it is personal. You should know that. Everything about your life is personal, whether you like it or not. If you're sitting around saying, why is this happening to me? That's personal. Now, you may not understand where this activity or energy or experience is coming from, but if it's happening to you, it's personal. And harmony, it is very personal. Or if you want to call it karma, it's personal. Cause and effect is personal. And it's based on your individual thoughts, words, and actions, your feelings. The experiences that you share, the experiences that you have, experience, they are personal to you, regardless of whoever else is experiencing it. And whoever else is experiencing it, that experience is personal to them too. Everybody involved, and the experience is not supposed to be the same. The lesson is not the same. That's how personal your God is. And there's only one. There's only one God. And that one God has made everyone and is for everyone and is with everyone. Now, whether or not you choose as an individual to acknowledge the personal relationship that you have with God is your choice. But the whole purpose of which eye do I choose is, are you going to cultivate, develop, grow? And I don't care how good your relationship is. If you're here, it still needs work. And I'm not saying that you and God's relationship needs work, but you are here to do God's work. Now, whether God's work is working on you before you can work on helping others, because you got to help yourself. Charity begins at home. You have to know yourself. And the reason it's important, because you will look at people differently. You know, and So here's another aspect of why you have to start with yourself, because if you begin without knowing yourself first and you want to just start helping other people, can you help all other people, or are you picking and choosing who the other people are that you're willing to serve or support or help or whatever? And what I'm saying about that is, we have to embrace all of each other. The good, the indifferent, and the bad. Can you be as loving and supporting and understanding and empathetic to a pedophile, to a serial rapist, to a domestic violence abuser? Because that's what knowing yourself is all about. As you get to know yourself, you can love these other people, accept these other people, understand these people, even if you don't agree with their actions, their philosophies, their thought processes. That's why it's imperative that you love yourself first, that you know yourself first. Because then you will be in a position to help other people. just because you want to help other people doesn't mean you're necessarily in a position to help other people. Don't get me wrong. Where there is a will, there is a way. But just like I said earlier, I may have said something that at the time I believed or it was factual, only to find out later that it may not be. So when we don't know ourselves and we're eager to help others just so we can get started doing something, we may find ourselves doing more harm than good. Now, don't take my word for it. Meditate on it. But what this is all about, which eye do I choose? It is about priorities and commitment. Okay? Your spiritual life should not be Sundays from 11 to 1 or Wednesdays from 7 to 9. It can be, like I said, and that's a great place to start. Listen, I'm not judging because I'm certainly not perfect. But what I am saying is we're done making excuses for ourselves and each other. So just like I'm calling you out, I'm calling me out too. And if I don't call me out, you're free to call me out. Because I know I'm not perfect. However, and if you spot it, you got it. So I'm sharing what we need to work on. We have to prioritize. Spirituality, a relationship with God, must be a commitment. If you are interested, and I'm going to tell you, if you are interested in spiritual healing, first of all, healing yourself, knowing yourself, healing our planet, and if you wish, want, desire, are passionate about ascending, aspiring in consciousness. If you are serious about your awakening, elevating, or aspiring your consciousness, then you must make spirituality a priority, a commitment, like every relevant and important in your life. For example, personal hygiene. I bet you don't leave the house without brushing your teeth or putting on some deodorant, washing your tail. Work, that's relevant. Family, that's relevant. Finances, that's relevant. For some people, education or training. You make time. Like when you were seeing somebody, they was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so busy. You know that's BS when you hear it. No matter how busy someone is, they always make time for what they want. Period. Time always becomes available. It may not be a lot, but it is appreciated. You find it and you maximize it. And that's what we have to do. All of the know thyself journeyman. You have to make the commitment, and you have to make the commitment a priority. And it is that simple. So, and it is that simple because you're making up your mind to do it. It is a decision. When you waffle, you're put in positions where your waffling is tested. And that's why oftentimes we second guess ourselves, because we'll do something that we knew we should have did it a certain way, but at that time we didn't want to invest the time or the energy or whatever it was. And I'm telling you, those days are over. For a year, I have done this podcast and I've talked about all kinds of groundwork information, laying down the foundation, understanding consciousness, the universal laws, how we create using our mind and heart energy. and that we have this power, and we exercise this power, whether we're conscious of it or not. However, we are not the authority over our creative energy, because we can't create at will. We're on a time-space continuum. I mean, yes, it's going to happen, but we have no idea when it's going to happen, when it will manifest, when it will show up. Now, there are times when we know that we don't have a lot of time, and we focus like nobody's business. And I've used the example about keys all the time, the lost keys, and when you close your eyes, because, listen, where did I last have those keys? Keys, where are you? Present yourself. And you focus and you dig deep and you realize and you find those keys, whether it was in a jacket pocket from last night or wherever. You left them in the car by accident or whatever. You will figure out where those keys are. So we have the ability. We have the potential. We just don't know how to do it. Well, meditation is excruciatingly important, and it really doesn't get enough pub, because you think of meditation, you think of, oh, mamby-pamby, feel good, God, yoga, namaste, woo-sa, but meditation is so powerful. And... And I was given the message in the past week, doing some of the research for the sacred woman circle that I'll be participating in over the weekend. But meditation is so powerful, because it's an inside activity. Okay, and I'm not talking about indoors as in inside your house. It's internal, inside yourself activity. And, I mean, meditation is almost like mental medication, to be quite honest, because you can use this for so many things. So, for example, when I said build yourself a mental altar, because at night you want to, like I said, lay down your burdens, whatever is on your mind, rest them on your mental altar, okay? And give it to spirit. Let spirit have it, whatever your dilemma is. You know, if it's homelessness, if it's unemployment, if it's finances, if it's health, if it's love, if it's some other relationship or some other situation, listen, pose a question to the universe. Okay, and the universe will answer. But don't just ask a question like yes, no. You're looking for solutions. And the universe will provide you with solutions, will provide you with avenues to get things accomplished. So part of like the meditation. So in the first paragraph, I was saying, when you wake up, claim your day. Claim your day, whatever it is. I mean, and I have lots of little meditations that I say. I even have, like, if I wake up and I have a headache or if I feel some sort of discomfort or pain, I have a little affirmation about that. Pain and conditions of the day, reveal thy lessons. Now go away. I learn and grow from thy reveal. With love and light, I am healed. So be it. And let it go. And before I know it, because I'm not spending a whole lot of time on it, I just say it. I might say it three times, and then I let it go. And somewhere throughout the course of my day, my pain has dissipated because I don't focus on it anymore. I have turned it over to the universe. Universe, I've asked you to do away with this pain. Now, and I believe... I know it works for everything, But remember, it's all as you believe. So you can't take my word for it. That's why faith is so important. Yes, I can tell you about my experiences. And so you will understand why I am faithful, because I'm the one that had this experience. So I know what God is capable of. Okay? And it's not even something that I want to share, because it's nothing to be proud of. But I know what God is capable of. So if I share my experience with you, it'll sound great and you'll be amazed. But at some point in time, you might be like, that sounds like some BS to me. Or I just can't imagine that really happening to someone. But remember, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. So after my first paragraph, I said, when you rise, take control of your energy and decide which I will unfold your day. Will it be the I am that I am? Will it be the God I? Okay, will it be the universal I? Will it be the cosmic I? Will it be the absolute I? Will it be your little sidekick over here? Ignorance and insecurity. Ignorance, of course, is lack of knowledge. I'm not name calling. It is what it is. Ignorance is lack of knowledge, and insecurity is fear or lack of faith. So you got a lack of knowledge and a lack of faith. That's what your ignorance and insecurity. But the sad part about it is I'm not name calling. We operate off of ignorance and insecurity. And here's an example, and I gave it some thought. So I'm going on a trip and to do something for a family member. And at first, I agreed to it without even thinking about it, because that's just how I am and the situation. But then after I had thought about it, I was like, why are we doing this in the middle of a pandemic? And then I let that go. And then one other time I found myself with some idle time and the thought resurfaced again. And the thought said, why are you operating out of fear? What? You're worried about flying and traveling and migrating through these hotspot states. What does that say? And it told me. First of all, it says that I am afraid. Now, I'm not doing anything reckless, okay? Now, what will transpire, can it wait? Yes, it can. But it's not going to wait. And the situation arose. This is when I say that I pay attention to nuances and the relationship is idiosyncratic, because when I thought about it, you know, I've said it many times, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it, whether it's inside my house, because you can easily get it from somebody coming to visit you, from, you know, going to the mailbox, who knows? Anyway, if you're destined to get it, you're going to get it. So I said, okay, if you can get it, you can get it, you know, regardless. So, you know, and people are traveling throughout the airports every day and traveling, period, you know, in public places. And, of course, New York has opened up and you don't hear a whole lot. So I was like, what are you doing? I was operating when I examined, you know, the fact that I questioned it, because I never communicated this to anyone else, to the other parties or anything. These were just thoughts that I was entertaining. And which is good, because this is where the learning process comes in at, because it's me who needs to benefit from this. Okay, so this wasn't a conversation that I need to have with someone else. But so I'm addressing, so I'm thinking to myself, and this is what happens when you start, you know, working spiritual journey, your spiritual path. They call it path working, okay, because you're on your spiritual path or your spiritual journey towards ascension, okay, enlightenment, awakening, to your higher self. Okay, to be able to come face to face with God, okay, which is what the Kundalini energy is all about. But that's, you know, so that's it. So, just lost my train of thought. Anywho, but you get what I'm saying. Well, we have a caller. Let's take this call.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to One for All is Love with Sonia Spirit. To whom am I speaking with?
My name is Ashil.
Ashil, nice to meet you, Ashil. What's on your mind?
Not much. You tell me.
Well, I'm not a mind reader. were you just listening, or did you want to share something? If you're just listening, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm just going to listen, to be honest with you.
Okay. No problem. I will continue. Okay, so so what I was saying for the most part is you have to decide which eye you want to choose. Do you want to show up and be present every day and be in a godly type way? Do you want the universe to unfold your day? I mean, think about that. If you woke up and you knew that you could have the universe basically unfolding your path for the day, would you take advantage of it? Would you call on the universe every day? Yes. Well, guess what? You can do that. You should be doing it, that we all should be doing that. But you have to come to that on your own. But that's what we're talking about when we're talking about making the commitment. So you got to make the commitment, and then you have to prioritize. So when you wake up, yes, even if you don't, if you just say, thank you, good morning, God, you know, I love you, God. Like I said, or just thank you. Thank you for another day of life. Thank you for another breath of air. Thank you for me being conscious, alive. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate, but you have to make that contact. Now, when you want to become the authority over your energy, because that's all we are. We are energy cells, okay, within our spirit, okay? Our energy, like I call them energy cells, but when I'm thinking of cells, I'm thinking of like cycles, really. But this is spiritual energy. This energy manifests our reality. Now we do it, but we don't do it proactively. We don't do it with authority. You know, the most we do is wish for things or want for things. And yes, that wish and want, if that conscious thought is aligned with an emotional frequency, then yes, we will manifest. But we do that haphazardly. We're hoping that we have a matching feeling to go with the thought that we have so we can manifest. Once we become cognizant of how the process works, you know, we're worried about trying to, well, I don't want to say worried, but many of us who are cognizant of how the process works, now we're trying to unload baggage, get rid of damage, past experiences, unload, you know, regret, sorrow, pain, vengeance. We're trying to unload our burdens or correct our programs. We're trying to reprogram ourselves so that we can be the authority over our energy, so that we can manifest at will. We have the power. Power. Because we do it all the time. But we are missing. We are missing. And we are missing that one component. It's called the abyss. In Kabbalah, it's referred to as the abyss. There is a chasm that needs to be crossed. in which we receive inspiration, but we don't do it at will. We're not at that level yet. We're not the authority over our energy. And that does require commitment and priority. That it requires the meditation, guided meditations, silent meditations, breathing exercises, questions, ruminating, contemplation, ruminating in silence, even in darkness. Be still and know. And that takes work. That's where the work is. That's the path work. Because what you're trying to do is get in tune with your different energy centers so that you can become the authority over your energy, and so that your energy is patterned in harmony, the movement with the flow of the universe. Excuse me. We make that choice. So if you choose the I am that I am, then make the choice, make the commitment, and make it a priority. And there are many paths to choose from. Yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, some people call them religions, some people call them spiritual paths, and all religions are not spiritual paths, okay? And all spiritual paths are not religions. And the word, I think, religion is actually comes from some Latin term that means to tie back or to tie again. So religion was actually a way of trying to reunite physical man with its spiritual self, the God within. Okay? So do you need a religion? No. If you have one, fine. Use it as your foundation. But this is, like I said, this is not a Sunday afternoon, Wednesday evening practice. This is a everyday relationship, like any other relationship that you have with other people, especially if you have children or a significant other. This relationship, and so why is this important? Because as things unfold, and some things may unfold for the worse, you will still have negative or adverse experiences because it may be a part of your learning and growth process. But when you are spiritually grounded, you know that. And even though an experience may be a hardship or it may be painful, as someone on their spiritual journey, someone who is pathwalking, will know that that experience, no matter how traumatic or adverse it serves a purpose for you, and it serves a purpose for the betterment of you. This is what perspective is all about. It's how we perceive things. I was talking to my brothers probably a week or two ago, and we were just talking about everything that was going on with, you know, in the world today, the pandemic, politics, economy, racism, all of it. And one of my brothers was basically, you know, he was speaking, he wasn't saying anything wrong. He was saying everything from his perspective, which basically looked like, you know, frogs on the slow boil to death. Okay. You know, in order to boil frogs, you put them in a pot of room temperature water and put it on the slow boil. And before you know, they're cooked if you don't have a lid on the pot. So that was his interpretation of what's taking place in the political climate today, you know, with the president and the habitual line jumping or line stepping, you know. and just making matters worse. And I told him, I understand everything that you just said, and I don't disagree with it on a physical level, but on a spiritual level, these things must come to pass. They must transpire. This is, it can be perceived as a negative experience, but from a spiritual perspective, you don't see it as a negative experience because you know that it's something that has to come to pass. There is beauty. There is truth. There is godliness. There is knowledge. There is compassion. There is understanding. There is wisdom in these experiences, in this experience, and that we're having today with the pandemic, with the economy, with the racism, with the violence, with the disrespect, with the ignorance, insecurity. It brings us back to the same thing. There are two categories. Pick the one you want to be in. Either you're on the side with God and growing and being the best you that you can be. I am that I am. God said it, and it is in me. I am whatever I choose to be, good, bad, or indifferent. Or you can choose to be ignorant and insecure. Operate on that limited knowledge that can probably fit on the head of a straight pin. You're building yourself a prison. Your ignorance and insecurity is your man-made prison. It is the prison that you build for yourself, or you have allowed other people to build for you with your help through your programming. When you accept programs, belief systems, you are constructing walls, barriers. You are limiting your ability. Remember, you are God. You have a God-given power, the power to create. Now, you may not be the authority over it, but you still exercise it every day. Your reality is based on your power to create and manifest. That is what your reality is based on. Now, if you don't like it, it's because you're not the authority over your power. You are haphazardly creating. And that's exactly my point. Once you get on the path, once you make the commitment, once you make it a priority, once you dedicate yourself to your spiritual path working and you make God a priority in your life, you make spirit a priority in your life, then you will receive the necessary inspiration from God to become the authority over your life. You will receive that knowledge, that wisdom. When you meditate, feel your energy. And if you don't feel nothing when you first begin, that's perfectly fine. Practice, practice, practice. Remember we talked about heart-head harmony? All of this is preparing you to get in touch, to come face-to-face with the spirit that is within you. There's God and there's the devil. God doesn't have an equal. So this is all on the physical plane. God doesn't have an equal or an opposite. So understand that the devil is a man-made construct. And it is only the worst of ourselves, just like God is the best of ourselves. Our creative ability is God. That's the best of ourselves. All of it is within us, and we parse it out. We choose what we express, whether it is anger, frustration, indifference, joy, bliss, compassion. We choose to express. Now, if you are responding, if you are reacting versus responding, then you still have work to do. Reacting means that someone else is in charge of your feelings. Even if it's a temporary suspension. And like I said, until you perfect it and work on it. Don't beat yourself up. Just be better. There's no time for guilt, remorse, certainly not for vengeance or revenge, none of that. Have your experience. Extract the beauty. How can I grow? Ask the question if you don't know. Remember, the universe is, if you express the energy, the universe will respond. When you ask the question, you're asking the universe. The universe is going to respond. But if you don't have a relationship with the universe, then when you receive the answer, you may not recognize it. That's why I say you have to have, that's what I'm talking about with the relationship. And understanding the idiosyncrasies of your relationship with God in communicating. Okay. So, you know, three simple Bible verses. I am that I am, Exodus 3:14. With God, all things are possible. It goes back to God being limitless, and so are you. If you have thought about it, it already exists. It exists in the spiritual world. And it can exist in the physical world. If you have a matching feeling to go with that thought, then it's already on its way to transformation into the physical world. If you don't have a matching thought, a matching feeling, or if you don't have a conflicting feeling, if you have a conflicting feeling, then it's not going to manifest. If there is no conflicting feeling, then it will manifest. So all things are possible. We create our own resistance. And then, so that's Matthew 19:26, and be still and know that I am God. You are never alone. You are never alone. You are never by yourself. You've never been abandoned. And if you have that relationship with God, and if you know yourself, then you know you're not alone. You know God is within and all around. And God is not out to hurt you. Remember we talked about cause and effect and karma. That's not punishment, contrary to what the Bible says. Now, I know I always quote the Bible, but I also says that, you can't agree with everything that it says because it's a man-made. The book was written by man, by Jews, for Jews, from from the Egyptians, but that's another story. Okay. But what I'm saying here is, yes, God is not a punishing God. Karma is reconciliation, okay? Karma is putting things back into harmony. It is not punishment. So that's why on a spiritual level, when you have an experience and it's an adverse one, you know it's not a punishment. This is something I need to work on. And if you have been working on yourself, if you have taken the initiative and gotten on the path, then you know some of the things that you have to work on. You know that there are things that you are always working on. And you will also know that whatever it is that you're working on, life, the universe, God is going to deliver experiences not to test you. Is she lying? Is she telling the truth? Not that type of test. Because it's one thing to say, I will respond in this manner. And it is another thing to respond in this manner. So you recognize what your shortcoming is. You have identified how you will respond in the future, if you were to have a similar experience, don't worry, it's coming. And then the next thing you know, you find yourself in that experience. How did you react? Did you react or did you respond? Did you react like you normally do with attitude and anger or frustration or depression or defeatism? Or did you step back and say, I know what I'm supposed to do here? Because that's you being in tune with your whole growth process, your whole learning process. Your learning process is interactive. It involves you. And it involves your participation, not just in action, but in thought, in contemplation, in behavior correction. That's why it's imperative that we focus on self-knowledge or knowing thyself, self-healing, healing thyself to a healthy self. Because once we know ourselves, heal ourselves, now we can share this energy harmoniously. You know, sometimes we can be so eager to help people that we end up hurting them. You know, we want to help our family. We want to help our friends. But we shouldn't always be quick to just, you know, pray our will on them. Now, if you got family and friends, say, Lord, keep me in your prayers, or, you know, keep me in your thoughts, or the next time you meditate, look out for me. Absolutely, because you've been invited to pour your energy, your spiritual love, and your spiritual energy over your friends and family. But if you're doing it without their invitation, then make sure that you extend that you are healing them in harmony with God's will. Okay? Because you don't want to impose your will on anyone else, just like you don't want someone to impose their will on you. However, it's happening. It does happen. So, family, friends and family, listen. Which eye do I choose? The choice is yours. You can choose the godly eye, the I am that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Make it a priority. Make the commitment. Make it a priority and a daily practice throughout the day. God is not a side hustle. Spirituality is not a side hustle. It is your focus. It is the fabric of your being, of my being. Commitment and prioritize and daily exercise. Put God first. Everything else will fall into place. It's called harmony. So I am that I am, or ignorance and insecurity. The choice is yours. I love you, family. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week. Hopefully I'll have some interesting information to share on the Sacred Woman path working circle that I'm working with. And until next week, enjoy your week. Stay safe. I love you. And be spiritual. Goodbye.